President Trump's longtime personal attorney, Michael Cohen, is getting national attention for his financial transactions with large payments from companies to his company, Essential Consultants. Several of Michael Cohen's client relationships have come into question in recent days. The most recently reported involved the pharmaceutical giant Novartis, which said it made $1.2 million in payments to the shell company controlled by Cohen. The stated reason for the payments was described by Novartis as a consulting contract on, quote, healthcare policy matters. Others, like AT&T and a firm tied to a Russian oligarch, made similar payments to the same shell company. That's the same company that made the $130,000 payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels to ensure her silence about an affair she claimed to have with Donald Trump. Barbara McQuaid teaches at the University of Michigan Law School, was formerly U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan. Barbara, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Before we dive into the details, is this a story of somebody close to the president cashing in on that perceived access? Not the first time that's happened in Washington, D.C., I assume. Or are there real potential legal implications of what's going on here?
The facts are really going to matter here. And, you know, I'm sure that it's not Robert Mueller in this instance, but the Southern District of New York. I'm sure they're way ahead of us in terms of understanding all of the facts. You know, we've seen just a smattering of some of Michael Cohen's records that Michael Avenatti has provided, but it's likely that they have additional records, not only of money coming in, but where that money went. So if Michael Cohen is freelancing here and is just trying to cash in and isn't really doing anything in exchange for these payments, then maybe it's what we call crime, but not slime. Slime, but not crime. But it could be something more nefarious, and so they'll want to look at that. Is he lobbying on behalf of these organizations? And if so, has he registered as a lobbyist? The failure to do so can be prosecutable and punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Is he sharing these proceeds with anyone in the Trump administration, whether it's President Trump himself or other public officials, White House advisors and the like? Then there could be some problems. Are they making official acts in exchange for payments? Then it becomes something much more nefarious. So the facts will matter, but there's at least a red flag here that would cause prosecutors and investigators to want to inquire further.
Now, Michael Avenatti had revealed this information. It's been confirmed by some news outlets who have seen relevant documents. Avenatti's the attorney for Stormy Daniels in all of this. Questions have been raised about, well, why would he have this information? And there's suspicions that some of this stuff might have been illegally leaked to him or via someone else to him. How much are people worried about how this information got there?
Yeah, I really don't know how he got this information. It sounds like it has come from what is known as suspicious activity reports. These are reports that banks are required to file with the Treasury Department under laws that require them to know their customer. And so if they see transactions that look, you know, way more money than they ordinarily have coming in or going out or coming from unusual sources, they'll file these little suspicious activity reports with just a short narrative of what happened, and so that law enforcement then can access this database of suspicious activity reports if they're investigating people to see if these transactions provide information that might connect some dots about what they're looking at. And so it really is really only law enforcement who's supposed to have access to this, and it's law enforcement sensitive. It shouldn't be shared with others. And so if it was, there could be a problem there with someone leaking information. I really don't know how it happened. But as we said, this is really only sort of a starting point for investigators. That would trigger someone perhaps to issue a grand jury subpoena or execute a search warrant, as was done in this case, to try to get your arms around all of the documents to see all of the money going in and out of those bank accounts.
And you mentioned the idea of connecting the dots, and the attorney in this case has Avenatti has made the case, I think, that we're seeing some dots connected between the Stormy Daniels case and the payment from Michael Cohen's shell company, people have described it. And then one of these payments from companies affiliated with Victor Vexelberg, there's some connections there. The American company involved says, no, this had nothing to do with him. Now, he's a Russian wealthy person, an oligarch, people call him, tied to Vladimir Putin. So people are looking at this and saying, okay, is this a Russian connection via Michael Cohen using this shell company that Michael Cohen used to make payments on behalf of Donald Trump? I explained that in a really complicated way.
No,
there.
I understand
is this something
the question.
People are watching for?
Sure. I think so. I mean, the emergence of this Russian oligarch making the payments, I think, likely raises some interest in, are there connections here between what is referred to as the collusion investigation? But the one thing that makes me think maybe not is the fact that the Justice Department spun this case off and handed it off to the Southern District of New York. There have been reports that Robert Mueller's team has interviewed the Russian oligarch in question here. And so it seems that they believe that it's unrelated at the moment anyway to that collusion investigation. And that's why the Southern District of New York is kind of running with this investigation. And it's also being handled by their public integrity unit, which suggests that they do think it could relate to some sort of public corruption, bribery, extortion, and the like. But if they are able to put those pieces back together, it's all one Department of Justice, and they can certainly share any information they receive, including cooperation by Michael Cohen or anything else like that. They could share that back with Robert Mueller if they have information that relates to his core investigation.
Barbara McQuaid is with us from the University of Michigan Law School, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, looking at Michael Cohen, new disclosures of payments to his shell company, the one that was used to pay Stormy Daniels, and trying to figure out what's going on with all of that. Now, Michael Avenatti, again, who represents Stormy Daniels, was asked on MSNBC's Morning Joe program yesterday if there's proof that Essential Consultants, that's Cohen's company, had made payments to other women apart from Daniels. Here's what he had to say.
I don't know yet whether this particular account connects to other women, but what I will say is that this is an enormous amount of money that is flowing into this account beginning in October, November, December time period of 2016. You've got millions of dollars that are being deposited into this account. Michael Cohen appears to be selling access to the President of the United States.
And you were touching on this a little earlier. I want to dig deeper into it. This idea of selling access to the president, that in and of itself, probably not illegal. What sorts of things would prosecutors, either Robert Mueller's team or in New York, be looking at to see, hey, this might be something illegal?
Yeah, as you said, if he's just sort of freelancing and holding himself out as I'm an expert on Donald Trump and I can tell you how he thinks, that's probably not illegal. But if he is lobbying with the administration on behalf of these organizations and has failed to register as a lobbyist, that could be a crime. So that would be one thing. If he is asking and conspiring with administration officials to take official acts in exchange for these payments, that could be bribery. If they are demanding payments from companies with business before the administration and threatening them that unless they pay, they won't get the access that they need to do their business, then that could be extortion. So these would be some of the crimes they're looking at. And I suppose to the extent that payments were made on the eve of the election to pay off people in the form of hush money, that could also be viewed through the lens of campaign finance violations. So number of crimes there. And then, you know, anytime you're involving the flow of money through things, there could be bank fraud, wire fraud, mail fraud, could even be money laundering if you can show that the proceeds were from illegal activity. So, you know, all of those statutes come into play when you start looking at financial transactions on this scale.
I want to talk about kind of the weirdness of these parallel investigations, right? The congressional ones, the Mueller probe, which they seem to play cards pretty close to their vest and not make a bunch of splashy announcements until they've got indictments, the Second District of New York. And then this Michael Avenatti and the Stormy Daniels case going on TV, making these explosive statements, releasing this information. I can't think of another case like this where you had that kind of back and forth between this weird public thing and then this official private thing.
Yeah, and I do worry that all of this public disclosure could compromise Mueller's investigation in some ways. You know, most investigations are very quiet. No one knows what you're doing. They don't even know that you're investigating anything. So you can do a lot of things without worrying that some of the subjects are being tipped off. You know, people are not shredding documents or getting their stories straight or intimidating witnesses because they don't know that they're under investigation. When things are so public, it does worry me that it could in some ways jeopardize the investigation. But, you know, this is a unique animal in that it is likely that Robert Mueller will follow DOJ guidance and not seek an indictment against the president if the evidence should get to that point, but instead make a recommendation in the form of a report for Congress to decide whether impeachment is an appropriate remedy. And so in many ways, it does become more of a political matter. And so all of these allegations out in the public arena could matter, because at the end of the day, it is politicians who would have to decide whether, you know, the president has committed impeachable offenses. And some of that will come from what they're hearing from their constituents.
Barbara, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Barbara McQuaid teaches at the University of Michigan Law School, was formerly U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan. She joined us to talk about the current allegations against the president's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, and fees that he received from several clients.